on KLYT. This is ABQ Connect.
From the Heritage Foundation, Genevieve, thank you so much for taking the time each week to, mostly every week, to get us an update from heritage.org.
Thank you, Steve. Always good to be with you and your listeners, I should say.
Right? Our Heritage Foundation update, typically we go to the Daily Signal, and we found an article at Daily Signal that's actually there today. The headlines, I'm going to read the headline. After Senate Republicans rip Schumer's shutdown, top Democrat abruptly shifts course. And as I was looking at that this morning, I reached out to you, Genevieve. So many of those that see these things going on in the news regarding the budget and continued resolution and what have you, to be honest, if they're not that familiar, their heads kind of spin and they tune out. And if you could kind of walk us through, what this, what occurs essentially every year as they agree on the budget or not, continued resolution, what that means, and really the landscape where we are now, what people might be hearing, and how really both sides may be strategizing and what it means to them.
Sure. No, thank you for the opportunity, Steve. And I tell you, the reason I think a lot of people question what's going on, how do I keep up with this, it's because the way that Congress works year after year is never the way an American family would plan for their budget or an individual would handle their finances. It's not the way anybody would deal. So they look at Congress and they're like, why don't you guys just pass a budget like the rest of us do? And the reality is that is what they're supposed to do. There's each department in the government, Health and Human Services, the Defense Department, the Education Department, all the different agencies have a budget. There's 12 separate bills that are used for what's called discretionary spending. So there's some things like Social Security, for example, or the post office. Those things go on and they're set in a timeline that we can question whether that's a good idea or not. But the reality is those things don't go through the budget process. They just have a formula they follow. But these other agencies every year have to come forward and say, here's what we want to do. Here's how much it will cost. Congress, please give us this money. And you have committees in Congress, the Health Committee, the Defense Committee, they're supposed to pass these budgets, put them in front of the full Congress in both the House and the Senate vote. Year after year, it has become increasingly the case, whether Republicans are in charge or Democrats are in charge, that they don't pass these individual 12 budgets. And they get to the end of the year and they're like, oh, woe is me. We never got around to this. We never could agree. Let's just put it all in one big package called like an omnibus bill. And that's where a lot of things get added in that, shouldn't be there in the first place because they got to get it passed because they got to get home for Christmas. Or they don't pass something like, well, let's just keep government funding at the same levels that it was before without making any changes. And that's what a continuing resolution is. It's saying we're just going to continue with the current budget we have until we figure out what the new budget should be. That's what this current debate is over. Continuing the budget, all the agencies spending at the same level they've been spending at for the past roughly 6 months, because the government's on a fiscal year budget that's not January to December like many people, but more like, October to February or whatever. It's a 12-month budget, but not January to December. So they're about 6 months into this current budget, and they're saying, look, let's let DOGE, which is the Elon Musk effort, go through all these agencies and find all the waste and abuse and where we can make savings. Let's get that done first before we plan a new budget so that we can see, really, does the Department of Education need everything they say they're needing? Maybe not. Does the Defense Agency need everything they need, or do they need more? I mean, that's the questions that we ought to be asking. Let's find the savings first.
I think the one that'll resonate with a lot of people also in that vein, it isn't too far off the headlines, is USAID.
That's right. Why would we do a budget for them if they're not going to exist anymore, or if they're now going to be in the State Department? And so the State Department should have to answer for those dollars. So the Republicans are not suggesting this time around that we make any cuts. So, for the Democrats, this is why it was a tricky thing, because this is the budget they passed last year. This is the budget that Joe Biden signed off on last year. This isn't anything new. There are no new cuts. There's no new additions. You're saying, let's just keep doing the same thing until we get this other, the savings and the like identified. Then we'll have debates over a new budget. That's what the debate's about. And I think the reason that the Democrats, it seems to, you know, Chuck Schumer's now said he's going to vote for it. He's not going to be against it. He's encouraging, I think, other Democrats in the Senate to pass it as well, is because if the shutdown were to happen, they're going to be the party that owns it, because all the Republicans, minus maybe one, were going to vote to keep the government open and vote for the continuing resolution. So if the government shut down, it's going to be because, you know, 40 plus Democratic senators did not vote for it. And that's, you know, shutdowns are never particularly popular with the public, especially when you as a party for the past month and a half since Trump has been in office have been saying how essential government workers are. Because what happens in a shutdown is, quote unquote, non-essential workers are the ones who were laid off. Well, if they're non-essential, you're giving Elon Musk and his crew a whole opportunity to say, oh, you're non-essential. We don't actually really need you to keep the government running like our essential services, like Social Security and the like. Then why do we really maybe need you on a regular basis? And why have you guys on the Democratic side been outside these agencies demanding, you know, we keep hiring all these people and not let anybody off, and yet you're willing to shut down the government and lay all these people off? So they were in a tough spot. I will give them that. But honestly, Steve, I'm sounding like I'm pounding on the Democrats, and I am this time. But both parties have been guilty of playing this game and not doing what, like I said, every individual and family does in this country most of the time, if we're doing our finances correctly, which is, here's how much we have. Here's what we think we're going to make this next year. Here's what our plan is to spend that money. We're going to do this much, you know, for our house. We're going to do this much for our other, you know, set aside money for healthcare that we might need. We're going to try to take a family vacation. Maybe we're going to do some stuff in the education stuff, either private school or, you know, some extra tutoring. Everybody makes those plans except for the federal government. And it's because in many cases, I would argue most of the time, it's not their money. It's millions and trillions of dollars that they just kind of move around, and they just kick the can down the road, oftentimes instead of making hard decisions that they think might cost them a vote back home. So both parties are guilty, but this time around, the Democrats were the one holding up the ball. And we'll see how it goes. You're going to have, you know, 8 Democrats on the Senate side vote for this thing to make it pass. But Fetterman of Pennsylvania has already said he was going to vote for it. Chuck Schumer has now said he's a yes. And my guess, Democrats in borderline, meaning reddish, purplish states, are, and who may be up for next election, are probably going to vote for it too.
Well, you know, I often like to use illustrations to better understand things, and, you know, throw it out for the listener as well. And actually, some listeners may be listening and going, I totally know all of this. But there's plenty of people who, like I said, they get flabbergasted and they turn off when they start hearing, you know, things like continued resolution or what have you. And the illustration I think of is a couple of spouses who their household budget and finances are a mess. And one of them may decide, you know, it's time that we really fix this, because we can't just stick our head in the sand and hope it fixes itself. And the other spouse might say, I know we need to, but I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to talk about that right now. So that's kind of what I'm hearing. And then I also wonder too, if, you know, in times past, you know, you go back 10 or 15, 20 years, when, you know, although there was division, not like we have now, and the more division that happens, the more difficult this process becomes, I would imagine.
I would say also, Steve, that the larger the government is, the more difficult it becomes. Because okay. The larger it is means the more people that you're, if you were to cut something, you're saying, we're not going to give you that money anymore. Yeah. And so, the larger the government is, the larger the constituency is for the tax dollars. And that's, you know, when you hear people saying, well, they're on the dole, the reality is more and more Americans are on the dole, and they may not even realize it, but they are, because of the way that the government now puts its fingers and hands and puts your tax dollars into so many things. If they were to stop it, all of a sudden, now it's up to you again, and you weren't used to that. So that's the reason people don't want to cut stuff. They realize they're going to offend somebody.
Yeah, and to speak to one of the things I was saying too, just this morning I heard on another broadcast a clip of President Obama back when he was in the White House talking about things that sounded a lot like Doge, where, you know, we need to do this. And I don't know that he was even the only president prior to Trump to bring this up, Democrat or Republican. And it's kind of what I said, you know, that they know it's been there and they know, but now finally, now it hurts because something's happening. And when you tighten the belt in some areas to fix other things, it's a little painful. But in the long run, you know, you get through it and everything operates better, when, you know, when it gets all straight. Now, the other thing that you said, that I don't know if I was aware of was, well, kind of aware of. I mean, I was going to say pork, like you'd find in a bill, which essentially it sounds to me like the budget works a lot like a bill before it becomes the budget or a law, that, you know, it works its way through Congress. And in the process, people are dumping stuff in it. Well, let's put this in it, too, then. So they would
make trade. It's like, I know you don't want this, but I want this, and I don't want your thing, but if you'll vote for my thing, I'll vote for yours. And yeah, that's how you end up with these huge budgets. And the other thing is, you know, Steve, that people should know, the federal government doesn't have a balanced budget amendment. It is not forced to produce a balanced budget, which is why we have a debt. You know, there's 28 or 30 states in this country that have balanced budget requirements in their state laws. They cannot pass budgets that are larger than the money they bring in. I mean, if 30 states can do that, why on earth can't the federal government? And it's one of the reasons, again, you have these battles is because people don't want to live within the lines.
Yeah, and I would say, I don't know everything about New Mexico politics and economics. However, my guess is it could use its own Doge, but it does end up with a surplus every year because the gas and oil here in New Mexico provides for that.
Yeah.
And now there's, you know, $61 billion sitting there that, you know, isn't being put to use to fix things that, you know, keep us at the bottom of the list on so many areas compared to other states. But Genevieve Wood has been our guest. Genevieve, thanks for the you know, a little bit of a school lesson there to walk us through what's happening in Washington and help us better understand what we're seeing. Go to dailysignal.com. You can find that article and heritage.org where you'll find information as well from Genevieve and her cohorts there. And we so much appreciate all the work being done by the Heritage Foundation and the folks at the Daily Signal. Genevieve, thanks again for your time.
Thank you, Steve.
All right. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.